We appreciate you coming out to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with us tonight. And for our time of worship, as we open up the scriptures together, we'll have a message that's a little bit different. We're kind of in between series a bit, but the message that I bring tonight has everything to do with our theme this year, 2014, of proclaiming God's praises, taken out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It's a little bit unusual from how I normally would preach, because we're not going to have just one text will unfold, but actually take a look at a couple of the different things. But I hope by God's grace it'll be something that'll be very helpful for us. I was talking with another brother who's a pastor in a different state, and he went through recently what's called a church audit. And that doesn't refer to finances, even though finances are encouraged, included in that. But what you could do is you can pay somebody to come into your church, somebody, I guess, who allegedly is an expert in that, however you determine that, and they will try to figure out if the church is succeeding in what it's supposed to be doing. Now, how do you know if your church is successful or not? Well, the first thing they do is they talk to the members of the church. And they walk around and they speak to people. So just picture this. If someone came up to you tonight and asked you a question, and here's the question: what is the mission of Trinity Bible Church? How many of you are confident that you can answer that question? What is the mission of Trinity Bible Church? Okay, we have maybe, I'm going to say, 20% of the hands up in the air, give or take. And that's just a rough kind of looking quick. If you thought, well, Greg, I can't articulate it, I can't just give it that quick, but I know where to look. Where would you look to find our mission? Do you have a bulletin? Grab your bulletin and tell me if you can find our mission statement. Can you take the bulletin and find the mission of Trinity Bible Church stated in the bulletin? And maybe even just a couple seconds ago you were thinking, well, I'm not really sure what the mission is, but here you have a bulletin and you got four pages to look at, so you try to make a decision. Do you see it? Do you see the mission in the bulletin? How many? Raise your hand if you see it. You see it? Okay. If you open up to the inside right underneath where it says welcome, thank you for worshiping with us today. The mission of Trinity Bible Church is, and here's our mission: exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, encouraging those who know Christ, and evangelizing those who need Christ. You say, why am I bringing that up? Because I think the gentleman who was talking to me, the pastor who paid to have this audit done, was making a pretty good point. How do you know if you're successful at something if you don't know what your goal is, right? Everybody knows there's softball games going on. I watched a little bit of a softball game the other night with Nancy, college girls softball. You say, what's the goal? The goal is to score more runs than the other team. You say, how do you know who wins? You just look at the score. If we were to take a look at our church, or any church for that matter, how would we know if we're succeeding at what we're seeking to do? The only way to figure that out is we have to make sure we know our mission. And so for some time I've been thinking, when I have a Sunday night that's free, that I'm not in the middle of a series, I want to preach a message on our mission. I've done this, I looked it up, 5 years ago, almost to the very week. And so maybe it's okay to repeat something that we haven't considered for the last 5 years. This is not a repeat of that same message, but it is the same three major points, because our mission has not changed. I'm calling the message tonight on purpose. The idea being that everything we do is part of a local church ought to have a very specific purpose. It ought to fulfill the mission of Trinity Bible Church. To that end, I hope this message will be a blessing for us tonight. Father, we thank you that you've given us the opportunity to gather together, and we pray that you would help us to just kind of get refocused tonight. Lord, would you please help us this evening to consider the importance of being purposeful in all that we do, not just mindlessly walking through tradition, not just doing things because we do them, but to actually, with intention, consider how we can best do that which would fulfill the purpose you've given us as a church family. To that end, we ask for your help. Even as we would review this once again this evening, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you looked at your bulletin again, and you find that little topic sentence that goes like this, the mission of Trinity Bible Church is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the most important thing we do as a church family? It is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, why is that? Because if you're familiar with your scriptures, you know that that's the chief end of man. Now, you don't have to know it in this wording, but my thinking is most of you recognize this. Right, it's the question that comes out of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? And the answer to that is what? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, right? That's what we were created to do. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You say, is that something that's clearly taught in the Scriptures? Yes, we read Colossians 1 just a little bit ago. Talking about Jesus Christ, we'll just review verse 16. For by Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created. And then Paul's just going to expand on what he means by all things. In the heaven, yep, on earth, yep, visible, yep, invisible, yep, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, Paul's just saying all things have been created what? Through Him and for Him. So everything that exists, exists because Jesus Christ has created it. In everything that Jesus Christ creates, He creates for His own glory. That's why we have the opportunity to be here tonight. We've been created by God by Him. We've been created by God for Him. A very similar text will be 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. Paul writes, for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, right? Everything that exists comes through God. And notice, and we exist for Him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through Him. The same basic thing is taught. Had the joy of doing a wedding Friday night, my second in-the-rain outdoor wedding. I am going 2 for 2. I'm thinking about writing a book, How to Do Weddings in the Rain. Okay, because I've only done 2 outdoor weddings and they both have rained, even though this last one was quite mild compared to the previous one, which I still have fond memories of. Okay? So I remind you, say, why do you bring that up? Because I remind the couples getting married, especially the young ladies, but we all need it, either male or female, that it's so easy to think, you know, this is my wedding day, right? This is my day and it's for me, you know? And I want these flowers, and I want everything so pretty and nice because, you know, even parents tell us this, well-meaning, but just not thinking properly. Parents, honey, this is your special day. And of course, that's not accurate. And I remind the young ladies and the young men as well that your wedding has to be to the glory of God, that this is not your special day. This is God's day. And the goal of the wedding is not for everybody to think, what a beautiful bride, what a handsome groom, or we're going to do it this way because no one's ever done it that way yet. The whole goal is for people to think Jesus Christ is a great Savior. God is a great God. Hey, and boy, and she's pretty and He's handsome. But Christ is a great Savior and we have a great gospel. And that's what should be happening even in a wedding. I just use that as an example, a practical example. Okay? So, why do we exist as a church? To exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather as a church. Now, I think most of you know this, but let's review tonight, right? What does the word church mean? Church means what? Lately, I've been having a new microphone on. I've been afraid to move, you know? And now I have a lapel so I can just relax. What's the word church mean? It means gathering. It means assembly. A church is a group of people who come together for a specific purpose. When I'm home, you say, you didn't have to come. No, you didn't have to come tonight. You say, I know of believers that stayed home tonight. That's right, but they're not the church tonight. There are individual born-again believers that are home tonight, and I'm not throwing them under the bus or giving them a hard time. I'm just making the point, if you were home tonight, you would not be the church. We gather. The word church means gathering. It means assembly. What we do is very important. We come together to what? To exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. To praise God, to honor God as a group of people in a way that we simply could not if we were at home. Caution. I'm not saying that people who are home tonight aren't honoring God. I'm not saying that. But I'm making the point that they're not coming together as the church and honoring God. We come together this evening to worship, to praise, to magnify, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I could just hit some negatives. We don't gather tonight to be entertained. You know, what's one of the things that's a little bit different about Trinity from the way that many other churches are going? Many other churches are building attendance through entertainment, and that's not hard to do. I hope this doesn't sound cocky. I could build our attendance quickly and effortlessly. It is not hard. If I would change our music here and then just back off the messages a little bit, make them shorter, make them briefer, a little more funny, we would increase the entertainment, we would increase the number of people coming. It's not rocket science. And people would leave thinking that was nice. And as they listen to music they're more accustomed to, which today is rock music, and then rather than dealing with words like, oh no, he's probably going to mention propitiation again, just mention a little bit of, hey, you're special. Throw out a verse and then give people gospel light and we would feel more entertained. But see, that's not why we're here. We don't gather to be entertained. We don't gather to promote specific agendas, right? You know, another political campaign season is coming upon us. Are we going to endorse candidates? No. Do we take views of issues? No. You know, every time you look in the news, there's something going on, gun control. Do we talk about that? No. Are we even here to promote? Boy, this is going to be a hard one because this is Memorial Day weekend. And yes, I'm thankful for the military, okay? So let me say that again. I'm thankful for the military, but no, we're not here to promote patriotism, okay? Another friend of mine who's a pastor, they pulled their American flag out of their main assembly, and the church almost split over it. They decided they'd put it in the lobby rather than in the worship room. And again, I'm not going to make a statement on that. I'm just simply saying we certainly don't need that flag there, and people that are not members of our country are welcome to worship with us because we worship as children of Jesus Christ, believers in the gospel. And we're not here to promote a national political agenda. We're here to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me throw one more negative out. We're not here, and I guess this kind of goes with what I've mentioned about entertainment, but we're not here to attract unbelievers. A lot of people say, you know, as long as you stick with more traditional music, as long as you have a little bit longer messages, and as long as you're kind of Bible-focused, that unbelievers aren't going to be comfortable coming. You know, guys, we have to review something very basic. The purpose of the church is not to get unbelievers here. When people come, we're glad they come. And we want them to sense, hey, there's people at Trinity that love you and care about you and reach out to you. But our goal is not to do any of those things, entertainment, promoting agenda, attracting unbelievers. Our goal is to exalt and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And by His grace, that's what we do. And if we do that by God's grace, then we're doing what the Scriptures, as I understand them, would teach we must do. And then as far as numbers go, not that concerned about that. As far as finances go, not that concerned about that. Because the goal is not to advance our agenda. The goal is not to build our facilities. The goal is to honor and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is our mission, number one? It's exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do should go through that filter. You know, hey, do you think as a church we should do this? And one of the questions you may want to ask is, well, does that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? The second question you may want to ask would take us to our second point of mission. edifying those who know Christ. So we gather together to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather together to edify those who know Jesus Christ. And certainly one of the primary ways, not the only way, and we do that is through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Many different texts we can go to. Ephesians 4, 11, verse 11 through 12 of Ephesians 4. The Lord gave some as apostles. These are different gifts. These are the ideas of God gives these gifts to the church. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And I will forever be thankful to our previous pastor, Dr. Custer, who one day explained this text in a way, not to me personally, but in a public setting. And for the first time, it just came alive. What's the job of the apostle? What's the job of the prophet? This will give you something to think about. What's the job of the evangelist? According to this verse, the job of the evangelist is not primarily to lead people to Christ, just something to chew on. And some as pastors and teachers, and that may be pastor-teacher, one person referred to there. You say, what's their job? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So what is supposed to happen through a ministry like ours is even tonight, I should be teaching, proclaiming, preaching the Scriptures in a way that does what? In a way that equips the saints for the work of service. So this message, by God's grace, is designed to help you serve Jesus Christ. Because the ministry of Trinity is not my job. The ministry of Trinity is the responsibility of the saints. I've mentioned this before. If you said to me, Greg, how much time do you spend actively in evangelism? My response would be, I'll be glad to ask that once you tell me how much time you spend in evangelism. I mean, guys, we're all in the body of Christ together. Now, if you're not spending time in evangelism, then I immediately need to be thinking, maybe it's partially my responsibility to be motivating you and encouraging you and equipping you, because that's my job. And then we all go out and we serve. That's what should be happening, is I understand, a New Testament church. We're teaching the Word. We're preaching the Word. We're focusing on the Word so that people then who are believers would be involved in the work of ministry. You say, well, why does it always have to be about the Word? Well, again, many different texts I could use, but let's review 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Because all Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable for, now notice the next four things, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. What does the Bible do? It teaches us. You say, once I know what the Bible says, what happens next? Then I'm convicted. The word reproof is the word convicted. And so as I'm looking at the Word and somebody else is teaching it, right, preaching it, doesn't matter who, then I'm convicted. Oh, Lord, this is how I should be living. Then what comes next? Number three, correction. Lord, by your grace, I need to change. If I could just stay with evangelism for a second. Lord, somebody just went through this text on evangelism, and as I was taught it, I was convicted that I have not been seeking to have the opportunity or fulfilling the opportunities you give me to share the gospel with others. So what do I need to do? I need to change. That's step three. That's correction. And then once by God's grace we start doing what the Lord would have us to do, we need to keep doing it. That's training in righteousness. And thus the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. So what we do is we gather, is we edify those who know Christ. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. And we edify those who know Christ, believers. Edifying, building up, being strengthened, as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that by teaching and preaching the Bible. We do that by fellowship, right? Many of you know Hebrews chapter 10, 23, 4, 5. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us, okay, watch, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. You should have a burden to encourage me to increase in good deeds that would bring honor to Jesus Christ. And I should have that same burden for you. You say, well, how do we do that? The next phrase. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the manner of some is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the drawing near, the day drawing near. We assemble together as the church, we fellowship together as the church for the purpose of encouraging one another to keep following Christ, to keep engaging in good deeds. Hey, I've been praying for that neighbor of yours that you've mentioned because you kind of mentioned that you shared the gospel with him a couple weeks ago. And I just want you to know I've been praying about that. Have you had another opportunity to do that? That should be the typical conversation out in our lobby. You know, I've been so concerned about that loved one that you have that doesn't know Christ. Or, you know, I know you've mentioned that maybe you have a child who's not doing well spiritually, or you have a parent that's not doing well spiritually, or you're just so burdened for this grandchild or niece, nephew, whatever. I want you to know that I'm praying for you so that you'll have another opportunity to talk to that person and encourage that person. And then you leave thinking, hey, that's a good thing, and I've just been encouraged to love and good deeds because you weren't forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So we come together for fellowship. But it doesn't have to be a formal worship service, right? It might be, guys, this coming Friday night, we're going to have a fun time. And you heard Pastor Ward make the announcement. It's called Game Show Night or something like that. You say, what is that all about? You know, I have no idea, okay? You say, are you going to show up? Yeah. You say, why would you show up? I'll bet you don't even like game shows. You don't come to activities because you like them. Okay? Is that okay to say? Why would you come Friday night? Because you realize that you have a purpose. And your purpose is to what? Encourage those who know Christ. How can you have impact without contact? You say, I just want to stay home Friday. That's fine. So who are you going to be a blessing to? You say, I'll stay home and text verses to people. Well, if you do stay home, that would be a good way to spend your time. Okay, so I'll give you that. But the reason, Lord willing, I'll plan to come out Friday night is because maybe, this is just what I do, whenever there's a game going on or something, I'll just kind of look and here's all the people sitting together talking and, you know, there's two talking and there's two talking and there's two talking and there's one. So that's where I go. And then I have an opportunity to maybe begin a discussion. Maybe someone I don't know that well and learn a little bit about his story and just try to encourage him in his walk with Jesus Christ. You say, why? That's the purpose of the church. It's what God wants us to do. It could be a Friday night thing. It could be something simple. We had our second 6 at 6 fellowship last night, Nancy and I and two other couples at the church here. You say, why would you sign up for 6 at 6 fellowship? Well, one, it's fun, okay? And secondly, you get to eat different kinds of food and stuff like that, and that's great. But one of the things that is wonderful about it is it's just another opportunity to get to know other brothers and sisters better. And as you just get to know a little bit better where they're from and what their families are like and what their background is, then you have more of an opportunity to encourage them, to pray for them. That's what we do. So what are our purposes as a church? Exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, edifying those who know Christ. And people who come together and worship with us ought to be edified because you take seriously this point. Just another practical example. We're going to start, if I'm thinking correctly, this coming Lord's Day, a week from this morning, a new video Sunday school series that's based on a book that we as the elders have been reading, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, and a book on how to encourage one another. Are you going to plan to participate? And some of you might say, well, no, Greg, because I think God is more honored with me going and taking care of my mom or my dad or stopping by the nursing home or whatever. Great. And you might decide that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ more, and that's wonderful. But at the same time, there'll be many people who say, I don't even like that book or I don't even like that author or I don't even like video series. I don't even like the concept. So are you going to go? Of course I am. Because I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want to build somebody up. I want to edify them in their walk in the faith as they follow Jesus Christ. That's edifying those who know Christ. So number one, exalting Christ. Number two, edifying those who know Christ. And what's the third aspect or point of mission for us as a church family? Evangelizing those who need Christ. And certainly there's many different ways to do that. We think of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, right? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we're to make disciples of all the nations. Now, I can't go around the globe, and you can't go around the globe, but you know what we can do? I'll just use the last couple that's gone out. What we can do as a church family is we can identify a couple that's a burden for worldwide evangelization like Matt and Becky have been, and then we could work with them as a church, and then we could ordain Matt and help him with his doctrinal statement and talk to him and pray with him and pray for him. And then as a church family, what can we do? We can then decide that we're going to be their sending church, and then we can help them in just very practical ways, obviously financial and obviously praying, but even things like, hey, do you need a place to store your stuff, and when is it time to pack up that container, and how can we help you to get to Cambodia so you can share the gospel out there? And then I can't do that by myself. You can't do that by yourself. But as we come together, giving financially, helping to support them, praying for them, all together as a family, we can be involved in worldwide evangelism. And that is one of the ways we can fulfill this, evangelizing those who need Christ. But that's not the only way, right? Because, see, the goal is not just to send other people, but we ourselves must be active in this. We've covered this text recently, John chapter 20, 21 through 23. Jesus said to them, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So what did the Father do? He sent Jesus Christ in the incarnation to come and bring the good news of the gospel to earth. What is Jesus saying? Is God the Father sent me, I am sending you. And he's speaking to his followers, his disciples. When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they've been retained. We talked about this. It's not a Roman Catholic idea of where we make a decision. You're forgiven, you're not. But it's the idea when you share the gospel with people, you can tell them with all the authority of Christ himself, if you put faith in Jesus Christ, you will be forgiven. And if you do not, you will not be forgiven. That is what the scriptures teach. And so as we share the gospel, we are doing what Jesus Christ was sent to do. And that's something all of us should be doing. That's something all of us must be engaged in. You don't have to evangelize the way I do it. You don't have to participate in our community fun day. But you have to be doing something. Because every believer is responsible for sharing the gospel message with others. And the idea of I'm just not into evangelism is unacceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us must be involved in some type of outreach. Now, let me comment on what's coming up with Community Fun Day, because we have visitation coming up on Saturday, and if you're able to come and help us put those door hangers out, that'd be great. And then 1 week from Saturday will actually be the Community Fun Day. We practice a kind of evangelism here that is different than some of the other churches you've been at, okay? This is what, and it's not so, I'm not going to say the other way is wrong, okay? But what a lot of churches do is they try to get all of the people to get out and bring everybody into one place so an evangelist can preach. And see, you're not really sharing the gospel. You're not doing the evangelism. It's kind of like get all the fish in one tank, and then you get one expert caster. and he does all the fishing. And as I understand it, that's not what I'm seeing in Scripture. As I understand the Scriptures, everyone who follows Christ is a fisher of men. And so our goal in Community Fun Day is not to see how many unsaved people we can get here so we can have one evangelist who preaches and everybody else sits back. And I know in the past a lot of churches have bought into that. And again, I'm not criticizing them. I'm saying I don't see that in the Scriptures. I see Greg Mazak is supposed to walk in wisdom towards those that are outside, making the most of the opportunity. And I'm just going to pick randomly off the front row. And my wife, Nancy, is no less responsible to do that than I am. And over here is Tom, and he's an ordained missionary, but he's not supposed to be doing that anymore. And I'll just pick one more and stop. Then Rich is over here. See, our goal is not to get everybody into a big place and then the expert fisherman fishes. Our goal is that every one of us that follows Jesus Christ becomes a fisherman. And so what should be happening at Community Fun Day even is, by God's grace, as we have maybe hundreds of people from the community that have never been here, it shouldn't be, oh, let me introduce you to Pastor Greg. And by the way, I would love to meet every one of them. But it's the idea of, hey, nice to meet you. My name's Nancy. And the fact that she's the pastor's wife, she wouldn't even bring it up, perchance. Nice to meet you. Is that your son? Boy, he's having fun in the bounce house, right? And then you walk up to the next person. We are so glad you're here. Wow, I've never met somebody who could eat so many hot dogs. No, that was just a joke, yeah. And do you live nearby? I had an opportunity. We had a guy out at the house yesterday to do some computer TV stuff, AT&T gentleman. You say, what do you do? Just begin a conversation. Where are you from? So you grew up. Interesting. Yeah, married? Yeah, how long? Interesting. So you work with AT&T? Yeah, so I just ask questions, just take an interest in his life. And so do you have a church home? And he mentioned a church I'm not that familiar with. I said, well, that's great. And then he said, well, why do you ask? I said, well, because I go to a church in this area, the Greer area, the area that you're from, and we're going to have a special event, and would you be interested? He says, well, I'm actually working most Saturdays. I said, you would be so welcome just to bring your truck by and grab something to eat. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, let me go get a flyer. I got a flyer, showed it to him. And then I said, would your kids? He said, my kids would love that. I said, you think you'd maybe want to call and maybe your wife and kids could meet you there? You could have a little fun together, you know, if you're allowed to do that, and to get something to eat. And he said, you know what, Greg, so now I have somebody to look for. And here I can look for this person. I sure hope he's in his AT&T shirt. And hopefully if I can find them, then I could say hi to him again. And again, you do the same thing. That's what our Community Fun Day would be all about. All of us becoming actively fishers of men. Put this all together, and we need to be on target. What do I mean by that? We need to be clear with our mission. What's the mission of Trinity Bible Church? Exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, edifying those who know Christ, and evangelizing those who need Christ. Okay? Every decision we make ought to be filtered through this grid. Let me do a case study or two. That's how I say it in a counseling class. Sunday morning, van pulls up. Guy comes out and says, you know what? I don't think I have enough gas in this van to get back home. Sir, could you give me money to get gas? What do I do? What do I do? I pray, well, Lord, we're supposed to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, edify those who know Christ, evangelize those who need Christ. Let me tell you what I don't do. I don't say, you know what, you don't have any gas? Okay, here's $40. It's not a big deal. Our budget can handle $40, right? Are you okay with that? Should we just set up a little booth, need gas, come here? Because one of our mission points is to keep your tank full. But that wouldn't be being on mission. So yet we want to be kind. You say, what do we do? Here's the best I've come up with, and you might have a better idea. And by the way, if you do, speak with me or email me. Here's the best I can come up with. When somebody says, hey, I need gas or whatever, it usually comes my way, which is good. Then I say, okay, I'll tell you what you do. Stay for the service. And at the end of the service, one of the guys will take a ride and we'll go out and we'll help you out with gasoline. And I'll say something to the effect of, and we'll give you whatever, $20 a gas. I don't know, just whatever seems right at the time. We're not going to fill your tank. Today, that's a lot. You say, why? Because we want to stay on target. And if somebody stays and listens to the gospel and it's an evangelistic opportunity, then maybe that's okay. Let me try another one, right? We're collecting funds here in Greer to build an ecumenical food pantry. All the different churches coming together to stamp out hunger. Pastor Greg, is Trinity interested in participating? Well, let's retreat. Let's go back. Let's get on target. What's our mission? Exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, edifying those who know Christ, evangelizing those who need Christ. Is our goal to feed people? It's not. It's not. I'm going to just mention, Italy's not going to work. I was going to use Tom as an example. Let's go back to Matt and Becky, or we could use Eric, Papua New Guinea. If somebody like Eric and Kara said, you know what, we want to go to Papua New Guinea, and I said, why? And he said, because we have found a new type of wheat. I don't know if wheat grows there. I don't think it does. Coffee. They grow coffee there. We have found a new kind of coffee that will revolutionize Papua New Guinea. And if we can get this bean to take root, it would be such a blessing to the people of PNG. We are burdened for coffee growing in PNG. Pastor Greg, can we present your ministry? I'd say no. That's not on mission. See, I'm not against that, by the way. It might be that there is a coffee bean that would be a real blessing to the people of PNG. I'm just saying that doesn't help our mission. We're not exalting Christ, edifying those who know Christ, evangelizing those who need Christ by going out and planting coffee. Now watch, wait. If somebody wants to engage in going to a country that has a great need, as medical missionaries do, and then say, okay, we're going to have a clinic. And if you have a medical need, just this is one way to do it, not the only way. Then come on in, stand in line, and once you listen to the gospel presentation, we'll give you a little token, and then get in line and get medical care. That's fine. If someone said to us as a church family, we're just burdened for medical work, and we just want to go around the world helping all the people who don't see well so they can see better, and that's just what we're burdened for, I would say that's wonderful, that's great. I think that's a very nice way to spend your life. Would you allow us to present the ministry of Trinity? Of course not. That's not on mission. We're focusing on exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, edifying those who know Christ, evangelizing those who need Christ. There's a whole lot of people who don't even like Christ that go around the world and do mission work and help people see whatever the case might be. And I could go on and give other case studies, but you get the idea. Now, I want to close with this. Look at those three statements, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, edifying those who know Christ, evangelizing those who need Christ. What is the one word? I think it's the only one. What is the one word that you see in all three? And the answer is obviously Christ. Christ. That's why I'd like to summarize this tonight with two simple statements. Number one, Trinity Bible Church is a Christ-centered ministry. Everything we do should be related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we say that, we're not talking about knowing all the data, all the information about the life of Christ. Like, could you take a map and show every place that Jesus ministered perfectly and pass a geography test, even though I'm not against that, okay? And Ward teaches geography, so I had to say that for him, okay? That's a wonderful thing. But when we talk about being Christ-centered, we're talking about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And another way of saying that is gospel. So I'll make a second point, but it's basically the same point. Summary. Trinity Bible Church is a gospel-centered ministry. And thus we, what? Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, edify those who know Christ, and evangelize those who need Christ. And we need to make sure, by God's grace, we stay on mission. I end with this simple illustration. A couple weeks ago, I think I mentioned this in a sermon last week, a brother from church invited me over. We went out to his house. He likes to shoot a rifle. It's a 22, and just some little target practice. And what we did was we would set up these cans, and on top of the cans, we would put a very small piece of wood, and I'm going to guess it's about an inch tall. I don't really recall. About an inch tall, painted bright red or orange or something. And we set it up on the cans, and then we went back a certain amount of feet, and I don't know how far back we went. I'm going to say we went back 20 yards, maybe 50 feet. I'll say maybe that would be closer. I'm not real sure. And the idea was to shoot those little red pieces of wood off the can without moving the can. And if you're a little high, nothing moves. If you're a little bit low, which I tend to be, the whole can moves. Okay? And every now and then, I would watch that little piece of wood just disappear. It's real thin, cheap wood. And that little thin piece of pine would just boom. And the can wouldn't move. And the brother I was shooting at would say, "Good job, Greg." And he's such a blessing. You know, he tries to encourage me. "Good job, Greg." And we'd laugh and enjoy it. You say, "How do you know I succeeded?" Because we were on mission. See, we had a target. We had a defined goal. Are we succeeding as a church? Well, we can't answer that unless we ask, what is our mission? And as we've seen tonight, by God's grace, our mission is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, edifying those who know Christ, and evangelizing those who need Christ. I hope that if somebody were to contact you this week or whatever and say, "Hey, I'm part of a church audit company, and we've been asked to contact some of the people that worship at Trinity. Do you know your mission?" That you would be able to say quite readily, "Yes, by God's grace." Let's pray.